This is 90.3 Near FM and welcome back to Northside Today. I'm now joined by Eddie Bohan to talk about the exhibition nationwide of pirate radio in Ireland. A very good afternoon to you, Eddie, and thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
No problem at all.
So the vast majority of pirate radio stations, they closed on 31st of December 1988 following the introduction of the 88 Wireless Telegraphy Act. And to commemorate this 30th anniversary, you're going to be putting together a special exhibition. Eddie, tell us all about it.
Well, as you say, this year is the 30th anniversary. Pirate radio was a hugely colourful time in Irish broadcasting history, and it's been, I wouldn't say forgotten, but it's been ignored. And there's a lot of archive material out there that's never been collected. So we're really putting the exhibition together to try and generate a bit of momentum to try and get a proper pirate radio archive and museum together. There is a very large archive of pirate radio material, but unfortunately it's in Scotland now. The lads in Scotland, the DX archive, are very good, but I think it's perhaps best that we should look after our own archives. So this year being the 30th anniversary of the closure of many of the pirates towards the end of 1988 and the launch then of independent commercial and community radio like yourselves, we thought it was just about time we'd look back and try and gather some of that material together. We have a lot of it together and we want to show the people what it was like. It was a very colourful time, a lot of colourful stations, and a lot of colourful characters who are still involved in radio and television today. So we're going to start in May out in the South Dublin County Library with a month-long exhibition with talks and some of the TV shows that have reflected pirate radio over the years and some of the archives and material we have collected over the last 20-25 years since the closure of the pirates. So that's, and then we're going to try and take it nationwide to libraries, hopefully, and then communities or schools, and not just nationwide, but around Dublin as well, because each section of Dublin had its own pirate radio station and therefore has its own pirate radio history.
Right, okay. So the South County Library, that's in Talla, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Right,
okay. And that will lead up then to December, where we're going to have a major push on the last couple of weeks before Christmas of, you know, to celebrate not so much the stations, but more the personalities that were involved in it.
Right, okay. Any of the personalities themselves be coming along with the exhibition?
They will.
Oh, excellent.
Some of them are already
excellent.
Involved in the station. Now, some of them have committed, some of them, again, time constraints, but some of them have committed to even giving a few lectures and talks about their time in pirate radio.
Right, okay. And do you have a date set for the one in Dublin?
It'll be starting, I think it's the first week in May.
First week, all right.
The first week in May, and be running for 3 weeks out in the South Dublin County Library. And we will have an itinerary of talks and lectures that we'll be doing throughout the month on different aspects of pirate radio, from political pirate radio to the history of pirate radio in Ireland, which goes back to the 1916 Rising. And then we have goes through to the 1930s, where we had the story of the first man who died on hunger strike, having been convicted of pirate radio broadcasting, Sean McNeila. And then we take it through to the 1980s, when pirate radio brought down the government.
Yes, that's right. And we had some great stations. We had Radio Dublin. I remember there was a guy there, Mike Eastwood, his real name,
that's
Mike
right,
Cotter.
Yeah.
We actually used to work at the PMPA back in the day together. And he used to rush out the door at 4 o'clock to go and do his show. But he was great, and the station was great, I have to say.
Everybody had a real job and then a real DJ name to be on the air.
Yeah, that's right.
Many stations had often female names. Like radio, you know, Jackie and Annabelle. And, you know, it was often the case the station was named after the DJ's girlfriend. And the only reason she'd know that she was dumped was the station would change name the following Sunday.
Yeah, and it's like, even, you know, hurricanes are named after women and men.
We
did have some great stations that are even very successful today. They became legalised with licences, like Sunshine and Nova.
They're names rather than stations. They're not really linear as such.
That is true.
Because there was, again, Q102, similar station, but they don't really have connection. I mean, those colourful, like, there was a lot more stations. They were the big names. But, like, every community had a local radio station. Like, I'm from Sandy Mount, so there's Radio Sandy Mount, and Radio Snowflake was in my area, and that became what is today Christmas FM. So
that's right. And we also had one that was always on FM. The others were on medium. Was it Atlantic 253, was it?
Atlantic 252. Well, that
252.
was a legal station. That was a a work of RTE and Radio Luxembourg.
Oh, really? All right, okay.
Trim and County Meath was where it was based.
Okay, so that wasn't in actual fact a pirate radio station?
No, it wasn't, no, but a lot of the DJs using it had really famous pirate names. They came from Radio Nova and Sunshine here in Ireland, but also from Radio Caroline.
Okay, okay.
And Radio Luxembourg.
All right, so many of today's popular presenters, in fact, and broadcasters came from pirate radio back in the early days.
A long list. Some of them will deny their pirate background, but again, as the years go by, it's easier to talk about it, because at the time, a lot of these, even the state broadcaster, didn't want to hear the word pirate mentioned. But nowadays, you know, as it's gone further and further into the past, it's become a little bit more easier for them to talk about their time in pirate radio. The likes of Dave Fanning, Mark Cagney, Brian Dobson, who presents the news, and Casson. They all got their starts in pirate radio. Even the good old Ray Darcy started down in Kildare in pirate radio.
That's right. I mean, we had Ernie Gallagher as well, and Kevin Brannigan.
Yeah.
How about yourself, Ed?
I got one chance. The other side of the microphone didn't like it, so I ended up just being the archivist. I'm the ultimate anorak.
The anorak. Yeah, I understand. I understand. Okay.
So it's been a collection. I've been very lucky now to and again, I'd like to ask, if there are any of your listeners out there who have material, and not so much newspaper, we have a lot of newspaper archives at the moment already handed into us, but if you have any physical, if there was anybody involved in any stations who might have some letterhead paper or some cups or mugs or stickers from their station, we'd be love to display it. You can give it to us on a loan basis and we'll give it back to you when the exhibitions are over. And, of course, like any good or project, if there's anybody out there who'd like to do a little bit of sponsorship for us to help us take it around the country, we'd be delighted to take it on board. And you can contact me at eddiebowen@gmail.com.
Right. Again, for listeners, if you want any more information, just contact eddiebowen@gmail.com. I beg your pardon. Yeah. Eddie, anything else you'd like to add before we finish up here?
No, it's just, I think, like, pirate radio, I feel very strongly the fact, I mean, delighted that the lads over in Ian and them over in Scotland have this huge archive of, like, photographs. It should be here. A lot of the big stations like GB3 and RTE get money from the BAI for archiving, and I know that Community Radio now started to get money to archive some of their material. And I think for such a colourful history and such a huge part of Irish broadcasting history and social history in Ireland, I think it should be part of the effort of the BAI to help support a pirate radio museum or a permanent exhibition for nothing else, for posterity and also for educational reasons, because it was so popular in Ireland.
Yeah, well, absolutely, I agree, although it was technically illegal. They were great times, and the radio stations were absolutely fantastic.
The training ground for many people, like, and some of the shows were brilliant, and it didn't have the same staid feeling that some of radio has today, where it's, you know, they're stuck in playlists, and it's very regular, you turn on the shows, same time, same thing, but these lads were at the cutting edge of broadcasting as such, which, you know, homemade transmitters and homemade aerials and fellas hanging out on a roof and a bit of an aerial stretch between trees and a road. And, you know, it was exciting times. I know it was illegal, and without the illegality of it, we wouldn't have radio and broadcasting as it is today. We wouldn't have independent radio and television as it is today. I mean, it's thanks to pirate radio that happened.
That's true. And I heard some stories, about one in fact, from a very successful DJ presenter who actually received an award and worked on commercial radio for many years. But when he was doing his leaving certificate, after school, he used to cycle. Now, he lived on the south side, but he still used to cycle up towards Three Rock Mountain. And he had a little shed just down a bit in the forest, and he used to broadcast from there. Just incredible. I guess those listening to him actually listened to a very good show, and he had on his back all his vinyls. Incredible stuff.
You know, and it like, at the end of the day, it still costs money. It's like the electricity had to be paid for. I know they weren't paying their tax bills or weren't paying PPI, but, you know, it still, there was a cost, and, you know, whatever little bit of advertising they caught, they did. You know, you listen now, and it's very hard to hear the local butcher getting a chance to advertise on Q102 or 98 FM because it is quite expensive. But in those days, the local butcher and the local shopkeeper was able to advertise on local community radio. As such, it was, I know, pirate, but it was local. I mean, it was in the community, and everybody knew it was on the air. It was low transmitter power. A lot of them barely got more than 10 or 15 miles. But it was for the community, and it was very popular. You know, huge amount of stations are still fondly remembered as being community stations, especially not just in Dublin, but down the country in Cork and Galway. I mean, those pirate stations are fondly remembered.
Yes, absolutely, Eddie. Well, listen, the very best of luck to you. I wish you all the best with it.
Thank you very much.
And fair play to you. Thanks very much for joining us, Eddie, and have a
You're
great
welcome.
One.
You too. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Okay, that was Eddie Bohan. He was telling us all about the exhibition nationwide of pirate radio in Ireland.